Good morning. It is so very good to see everyone that's here, especially others who have not been able to be with us for a while. It's good to see you and be able to be with us. And we're glad for all the visitors that we have. We appreciate you coming out and being with us as we study from the Word of God this morning. Just a couple of quick things. You know, the computer's absent here. Just go ahead and let it be known. Apparently we had a power spike and fried the laptop. And I've been dealing with a series of computer malfunctions in my home. That's why you haven't had as many PowerPoints, and that's why you're not going to be hearing about the Greeks tonight. You're going to get a break from the Greeks for a little while. But hopefully we'll get things situated. My computer is getting back up to full speed. It's been repaired, and now it's just getting everything back the way I want it. So hopefully things will be working out better with that. There's nothing worse than when your work machine goes and you're used to being able to do certain things, and then all of a sudden you have to go back to a machine that won't do it as quickly as you're used to being able to do it. So if you'll just bear with us on that, we'll get that taken care of, and I'll be able to use my laptop for the presentations and things of that nature, so we won't have to worry about that. That will help us out some. This morning I want to talk about a couple of individuals we have in the Scriptures. You know, as we read and study in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we read about those who rejected the apostles, those who rejected the prophets, and we oftentimes think, I know others have to think it too, we think to ourselves, well, you know, if I would have seen the miracles that they performed, or if I would have been present and heard the preaching that they had done, there's no way I would have turned away from them. There's no way that I wouldn't have been obedient to the gospel that they were preaching, to the words of God they were given. But I wonder, truly, how many of us would have been receptive to the likes of John the Baptist, the Apostle Peter, and the Apostle Paul? When we really look at them as individuals, their personalities, their way of preaching, the way that they lived their life, I wonder if we would have truly been receptive to them. And so I want to look at these and ask ourselves, would we have believed them? And the first one I want to look at, we're going to call him the Harsh Hermit. Because John the Baptist was as coarse as his clothing. When you look at the way that he lived, the things that he did, if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, we're going to begin reading there in verse 1, and just really honestly put yourself in the position of the first century Jews that were receiving this teaching. In Matthew chapter 3, we'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Now in those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan, and they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins." Now, let's just pause there for a moment and just really put ourselves in Jerusalem. There's a crazy man talking out in the wilderness. I mean, honestly, if we looked at it, you know, this guy, he eats locusts and wild honey. There's nice, comfortable garments available. And what's he doing? He's wearing a garment made out of camel's hair. And not only that, I have to go and hear him. Now, let's remember, there's not a nice little train that we can hop on and ride. We can't go and hop in our air-conditioned vehicles and be there in a matter of moments. We have to walk. Maybe we're lucky enough that we have a donkey or a horse or something of that nature that we could ride. But John is not bringing the gospel to others. He's out in the wilderness preaching, waiting for them to come to him. Now, we don't like that, do we? We want it as convenient as possible. You don't believe me, you just start looking around in various areas and look at the number of churches in one city. I'm not talking about churches of Christ. I'm talking about the number of churches, period. Where you will literally have one denomination right next to the other one. Or you may drive by 10, 15, 20 different church buildings to get to where you go, and you're only going a couple of miles. You don't believe that we want convenience? And yet these individuals were willing to go out and to listen to John, But many of us are unwilling to do any kind of a travel. He did his preaching in the wilderness. He forced people to come out to hear him. And he dressed himself in the most uncomfortable clothing there was possible. He was not a fashion guy. How many times have you gone to hear a preacher and you're like, he's an all right guy, but man, his clothing just got on my nerves. He had the absolute ugliest tie I've ever seen in my life. I was distracted the entire time from what he was preaching because I couldn't get over the loud orange jacket that he had on. What was up with that? We put a lot on looks. Thankfully, you guys don't put too much on looks. I'm really appreciative of that. But we do, don't we? If someone's ugly or if someone just not, he just doesn't have a pleasant appearance about him, if he's not dressed fashionably, we don't want to hear him, do we? And this was John the Baptist. He was not wearing the fashion of the day. Once again, he looked like a wilderness individual. He ate a wilderness diet, eating locust and wild honey. Can you imagine sitting there after he's preached and then he's over there, he's grabbing up these locusts and popping them in his mouth? Now, I oftentimes think, if I were John the Baptist, I would do like I used to do the Brussels sprouts when Mom used to fix them. She'd have her sweet pickles. She'd have a jar of sweet pickles on the table, and I'd put a plate full of sweet pickles. I'd spear about three or four sweet pickles, then a Brussels sprout, then two or three more sweet pickles. That way you could just barely even taste the Brussels sprout. So I'm thinking maybe he took the locusts and dipped them in the wild honey, something of that nature. But still, I remember when I was in junior high, and one of the teachers ate chocolate-covered grasshoppers. They're covered in chocolate, and all the students had the exact same reaction Joy has on her face right now. Ew! So once again, John the Baptist, not the most pleasant of individuals to look at, to be around. Would we have listened to him? Once again, we have a difficulty just traveling a short distance in nice, comfortable, air-conditioned cars to hear the gospel. When it's given to us in a convenient way, we have a difficult time. Many of us have computers. Many of us have internet connections. Many of us can download, 354 sermons that have been preached here in this congregation by me and other individuals. There's other websites where you can download. How many of us take the time to download and listen to it? It comes right into your home. And we don't even take the time to listen to the Word of God. And we think we would have listened to John the Baptist. Or we had to walk out into the wilderness. We had to walk away from all the conveniences of the city of Jerusalem. There's no Starbucks out there. There's no mall, no place that we could go out and eat afterwards. And yet these people were willing to walk out and to hear these things. And look at what they were willing to walk out and hear. Look with me, if you would, there in verse 7. Listen to the message that's being preached here. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You bunch of snakes." How many of you would sit if the first words, the individual, you've come to hear this preacher, you've come to listen, and you're nothing but a bunch of snakes. You're a horrible, deceptive people. Now I can guarantee you that most people instantly, that off switch would have been clicked on. They may have stayed for the rest of the lesson. But they never heard a single word again because he instantly turned them off. When we look at the things that John taught, the way he taught, we would find that we probably would not be receptive. We don't like it when the preacher steps on our toes, do we? We don't like it when the preacher points out our faults, where we're wrong, where we're doing things that we shouldn't be doing. But we need that, don't we? You see, we desperately need to know where we fall short in the ways that God wants us to be, don't we? We need it pointed out to us. We need it spelled out. But we don't want to hear it. So would we have heard John the Baptist? When we look at his appearance, would we have the understanding that Samuel was taught there by God as he was looking for the king? Says, "The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him." Speaking of Saul. Saul looked like a king, but God It says, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. How many times have we looked at a preacher and go, I don't really have a desire to listen to him? Would we have listened to John the Baptist? Judging by our attitude towards listening to others, we might would have to say, no, I wouldn't have. Well, what about the hillbilly hypocrite? I have a great appreciation for Peter, James, and John. James dies pretty early in the story of the book of Acts. John really seems to have a completely different persona because most of his writings are towards the end of his life. And most of the things that we read about him are towards the end of his life. And he just really had a different outlook. Other than that outburst of James and John there when they were with Jesus and they were like, you know, we want to sit on your right hand when you come in your kingdom. Other than that, John just really tempers out to be just this nice, calm, loving individual. In fact, the book of John is all about the love of God. His writings speak of love. Peter, however, is a rash individual, is he not? As we look at the life of the Apostle Peter, we see in Acts chapter 4, there in verse 13, this is not just Peter, but also Peter and John. They had the exact same upbringing. Their original work was being partners with one another. They worked together with one another. And there in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 13, when they've been carried and put into prison and they're being checked out and everything, it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. So, what are they saying? They're saying Peter and John were kind of stupid in their speech. You could tell by the way they talked, they had very little education. We do that today, don't we? I love the internet, and yet I hate the internet. I love texting, yet I hate texting. When you read things on the internet, things that have been posted, people don't pay any attention to their spelling, do they? They just throw it up there. No attention to detail, no attention to punctuation. And it just drives you insane. And you think, don't they know better? And unfortunately, we don't. The United States was below 50 in nations on literacy. That's how far down the poll. It was way below 50. I don't remember the exact number. I know it was below 50 in literacy. And you listen to some Americans talk, and you just know there's a lack of education. That was Peter. Peter was an uneducated individual. You could tell by the way he spoke. And as we mentioned, Peter was a rash individual. If you look in Matthew chapter 26, let's begin reading there in verse 69. We could go back earlier and we could see where, you know, when the Lord is instituting the Lord's Supper and going through these things. Go back to verse 33 of that same chapter. Peter said to him, "Because even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." The attitude. Everybody else can desert you, Lord. I won't do it. Jesus says, this very night, three times, you're going to deny me. In verse 69, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. That very night, he had been with Jesus there in the garden. He had seen Jesus there with Moses and Elijah. Peter was a chosen apostle of Jesus. And he lied and said, I don't know what you're talking about. When he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied it with an oath. I do not know the man. Remember Peter's words? Though all may forsake you, I'll never leave you. That very night he's already said, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who this guy is. A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you two are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away. Then he began to curse and swear, using oaths, saying, I swear to you, I don't know the man. How many of you would go out and hear a gospel preacher who had been a denier of Christ. Someone who had known the way, who had been obedient and denied Christ and just walked away, left it all behind. We can also see in the life of Peter that he caused a split in a local congregation. Look over, if you would, in the book of Galatians. So look there in the book of Galatians, there in chapter 2. Galatians 2, there beginning in verse 11, it says, "But when Cephas," that's Peter, "when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy." Now picture this, if you would. You're here in the congregation of Antioch. Peter's there and he's sitting down. Jews, Gentiles, all alike. They're sitting down there eating. They're spending time with one another. And certain individuals come up and Peter gets up and he refuses to sit with the Gentiles anymore. And he goes and sits with the people that were coming from Jerusalem. This James is most likely the brother of Jesus, who was a very important leader in the church in Jerusalem. Apparently an elder in the church. These people come up and Peter gets up and he goes and sits with them. And it continues to happen to where you've got a division. You've now got the church in Antioch, but you've got the Jews on one side and the Gentiles on the other. Peter was the cause of this. Peter could have set the right example, and when they came from Jerusalem, he just continued to sit there and said, "Hey, come on over here and sit with us. Sit with all these Christians over here." We're very harsh with preachers who have fallen, aren't we? We don't like to give people a second chance, do we? When we look at the way that we treat preachers today, I would say we would have rejected the Apostle Peter. If Peter were to come and to stand before us, we would have been like, "I don't want to hear him." I can't tell you how many congregations there are that if you don't have some kind of degree in Bible or just a degree in general, they won't even think about hiring you. Remember, we read about Peter. He was an unlearned, uneducated man. You could tell by his speech he was unlearned and uneducated. We can see by looking in the Scriptures that the wrong kind of learning can actually be a dangerous thing. If you would look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's begin reading there in verse 18. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church there in Corinth, he says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles foolishness." Go down to verse 25. "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." You see, the Apostle Paul is trying to say that when we get too caught up in the wisdom of this world, we tend to forget the power and wisdom of God, do we not? And yet we put so much importance on, well, they've got to go to FC. We can't hire a preacher that didn't graduate from FC and doesn't have a degree in Bible. If he's got a degree in Bible from FC, then he's got to be a good preacher. If someone comes up and he doesn't use good English, he doesn't try to speak in a very smooth, fluent, learned way, we turn off. We quit listening. Even if he's preaching the truth of the Word of God, even if he's preaching the simplicity of the Gospel. Remember, the Apostle Paul has said, through the foolishness of preaching. How many times do we fail to give people a second chance? A very good friend of mine betrayed the congregation where he was preaching, betrayed his wife, betrayed his children. He made repentance. He made correction for what he had done. And yet that congregation still, and others, when you talk to them, they still speak his name in a derisive tone. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what he did? I oftentimes respond, well, I heard he repented. He's not able to preach anymore because his influence is shot. We would treat the Apostle Peter the exact same way. You denied the Lord. You're not standing before us. You divided a congregation. We're not going to have you in our midst. You see the attitude that we have? No, I don't believe we would have accepted John the Baptist. I don't believe we would have accepted Peter. But what about the notorious nerd? The Apostle Paul. Paul was the exact opposite of Peter. Peter was uneducated. He grew up a fisherman, grew up in the hills of Galilee. He was your typical, stupid hillbilly. Paul, however, was born in Tarsus. A Roman city. He was born a Roman. Born a Roman citizen and a Jew. His parents apparently were relatively well off in that they were able to send Paul down to Jerusalem and to study at the best school available for Jews. He was able to learn at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest rabbi of the day. The greatest teacher of the law, that's who Paul studied with. That's who Paul learned the law of Moses from. That's where he learned the things of the Jews from. He was the best educated of the three. But what about Paul? Well, let's read some things about Paul. Paul said himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1, there in verse 13, he says, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Even though Paul was well educated, he was not exactly the most fluent of speakers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there in verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. So first of all, he was a persecutor of the church. He put people to death, put them in prison because they claimed to be Christians, because they refused to deny Christ. Then secondly, he was not a very good speaker. He perhaps stumbled on his words. Maybe he knew what he wanted to say, but it didn't always connect between his brain to his tongue. He was not a fluent speaker. And we also read that his appearance, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there in verse 10, the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth quotes others and says, for they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive and his speech contemptible. Now we don't know much about the appearance of the Apostle Paul, but unimpressive. Weak, the King James Version reads, I believe. He was a frail looking individual. He did not have the appearance of power and charisma, did he? Would we have listened to Paul? Would you sit down and listen to a lesson preached by someone who had your parents thrown into prison? Would you sit down and listen to someone preach the gospel who had taken your husband and thrown them into prison, sat with the Sanhedrin and said, I vote that they be put to death? Would you? We don't like to give people second chances, do we? Would you invite someone to come and to hold a gospel meeting for you who had been shown very clearly that they're a blasphemer of Christ? That at the point of death tried to get others to curse Christ? Penn and Teller are a very famous magician group. Penn, the speaker of the two, took part in the denying the Holy Spirit thing that took place on YouTube not too long ago, where he vehemently denied the Holy Spirit. He blasphemed the Holy Spirit. What if he was converted Would we invite him to come and stand before us, knowing what he had done? See, that's the Apostle Paul. Would we have listened to him? Would we have listened to Paul? We oftentimes take the pre-Christian life and hold it against them, don't we? Well, he was this, he was that, he took part in this. I can't believe someone like that would be preaching the gospel now. I can't listen to someone who's lived a life such as that. Look with me, if you would, in the book of 1 Corinthians. If we had that kind of an attitude, we could not be a part of even the church in Corinth, because we would go, I can't be in a congregation with people such as that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there in verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Look at that next verse. "But such were some of you." The church in Corinth was made up of idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, drunkards. They had ex-alcoholics in their midst. Oh, but we can't have someone like that in our midst. We definitely can't have someone like that preach to us. You see, if we hold someone's pre-Christian life against them, then we are judging them unnecessarily. Oftentimes we don't like to hear preachers who lack polish. Once again, Peter was an unlearned individual, and some people might would have listened to him and go, "Well, he just doesn't know any better. You know, he's doing the best that he can." But I know you've gone to a gospel meeting and you've listened to someone and they've preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached the simplicity of the Word of God, and he just wasn't that interested. He didn't catch my attention. He just wasn't a good speaker. How many times have preachers been kept from preaching in a job because they're not good speakers? Well, he was a nice enough guy. I liked him all right, but I don't think I could listen to him preach every Sunday. You see, we would have rejected the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul gave that same unimpressive speech in Ephesus for 3 years. In Corinth, he used that same unimpressive ability to speak for a year and a half. But we wouldn't have given him more than a Sunday. "Well, it's nice to meet you. Appreciate you coming by. Have a nice trip. Have a nice life. We don't want you here anymore." Would we have believed him? Would we have accepted them? You see, smooth words and flattering speech are oftentimes used to deceive. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, there in the 16th chapter. In Romans chapter 16, there in verse 17, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting." We get caught up and go, "Well, that guy, he just got my attention. He told the most wonderful stories, and just he made my heart go flutter, and I want to hear him again." I know of a particular preacher. I sat down to listen to his sermon, and he had a good delivery. He had a very polished speech. But he was preaching more from chicken soup for the soul than the Bible. Apparently he had the exact same chicken soup for the soul in his library that I had, because I was sitting there counting off, "Well, I've read that story, and he had almost twice as many chicken soup for the soul stories, illustrations, as he had passages of Scripture. Now, thankfully, what he preached was the truth of the Word of God. But you see, when you take more and more Bible out, it's easy to slip more and more doctrines of the world, doctrines of men. Would we have accepted John the Baptist? Would we have accepted Peter? Would we even have accepted Jesus? Look with me, if you would, in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Would we not have been like Jesus' own hometown? Matthew chapter 13, they're beginning at verse 54. He came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. What if Jesus came to visit and we were like, "Where'd you get smart all of a sudden? Where'd you learn all this stuff all of a sudden? Where'd you get these great powers?" Don't we find ourselves to be exactly the same? I encourage you not to judge the message by the messenger. He may be a little rough around the edges. His speech may not be the smoothest. But the question I ask, is he teaching the Word of God? If so, then it's worth listening to. Perhaps he has a very smooth speech. Maybe he's able to catch your attention and hold it. Maybe he's able to entertain you with jokes and illustrations, and you leave laughing, thinking, "That's the funniest thing I've ever heard." Has he taught you the gospel? No? Then quit listening to him. Maybe he's the best dressed individual you've ever met. Maybe he's a really nice looking guy. That's not a reason to listen to his teaching. Maybe he's rich. That's not a reason to listen to his teaching. Would we have accepted John, Peter, and Paul? Judging with the way that we accept men today, I'd have to say no. We would have rejected them just like the Jews did in that day and time. But you see, you have an opportunity to accept them today. The gospel that Peter and Paul preached is quite simple. Foolishness of the message preached. Paul said, "I desire to know nothing about you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's the message of Peter and Paul. John was preparing the way. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom of heaven is here. And today, you have an opportunity to be a part of it. The Apostle Peter told him on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. The Apostle Paul, in his own life, we can see where he was told by Ananias, he said, "Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins." All we have to do is hear the simple gospel of Jesus Christ, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of the sins of our lives, as Peter tells us, and be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Our sins will be washed away. We'll arise a new creature, a child of God, a part of His kingdom. Why not show that you accept Peter and John and Paul today by accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ? Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you've, like Peter, you've gone astray. Perhaps you've been led astray by some preacher or teacher and you're not following according to the will of God. Then today is your day to return to Him as we stand and as we sing.